哎呀，Text number 18, chapter 4, 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Gupto apyaye manu ilokshadayash cha matse krode hato ditija udara atma basa.Shamam korme drito adri amriton matane swapriste grihat prapanam ibarajam amunshad artam guptopYaye manur ilo ilo shadayas chamatse. Krode hato ditija udara atma basa chanam. Korme drito jiramriton matane swaprishte.Grihat prapanam ibarajam amunchadartam. Guptop yaye manur ilo shadayas chamatse. Krode hato ditija udara atma basa chanam.Korme drito jiramriton matane swapriste. Grahat prapanam ibarajam amunshadaram. Taupaye manur lo shadayas chamatse. Rehato ditija udara at ambusha chanam. Korme drito diram riton matane swaprishte.Grihat prapanam ibarajam amunshadartam. Guptopyaye manurilo shadayas chamatse. Krode hato ditija udara atam basamam.Korme drito jiramriton matane swapriste. Grahat prapanam ibarajam amunshadartam. Guptopyaye manurilo shadayas chamatse.Adehato didija udara tam ribocham. Korme drito diram riton machane chapishte. Grahat prapanam ibarajam amunshadartam. Any ladies?Guptopyaye manuresho dasaryas chamatse. K Korme drito dridira amriton matane chapishte. Grahat prapanam ibaraja mamun shadartam. Gupta was protected. Apyaye, during the annihilation. Manu, Vaibhasvata Manu. Ila, the earth planet. Oshadaya, the herbs. Cha, and Matsye, in his incarnation as a fish. Krode, in his incarnation as a boar. Hatta, was killed. Ditija, the demoniac son of Diti, Hiranyaksha. Udarata, by him who was delivering. Ambasa, from the waters. Shamam, the earth. Korme, as the tortoise. Jita, was held. Adri, the mountain, Mandara. Amrita Unmatane, when the nectar was being churned by the demons and the demigods together. Saprishte, upon his own back. Grahat, from the crocodile. Prapanam, surrendered. Ibarajam, the king of the elephants. Amunchit, he freed. Artam, distressed. Covers a lot, huh? No, half the incarnation. In his appearance as a fish, the Lord protected Satyavrata Muni, the earth and her valuable herbs. He protected them from the waters of annihilation. As a boar, the Lord killed Hiranyaksha, the son of Diti, while delivering the earth from the universal waters. And as a tortoise, he lifted the Mandara mountain on his back so the nectar could be churned from the ocean. The Lord saved the surrendered king of the elephants, Gajendra, who was suffering terrible distress from the grips of a crocodile. No purport. There's a lot of narration. Om agana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chaksur militanyena tasmai shi gurave namaha shi chaitanya manobistam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantika vandeham shi guru shi yuta padakamalam shi gurun vaishnavamscha shi rupam sajja jatam sahagana ragana tanvitam tam sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavari Paschachade Satarane. Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo. Namo Mahavaranyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Namani Gora Trishe Namaha. Panchatatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktika. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Jayatam Sudatopangor, Mama Mandir Matergati, Matsarvasya Padambojo, Shishi Radha Madana Mohano. Divyad Kalpa Drumada, Shiman Ratnagara, Singhasanisto, Shishi Radha Shila Govinda Devo, Prestalibi Savyamano Smarami. Shriman Rasa Rasarambi, Bamsi Vita Tatastitaha, Karshan Veno Sanar Gopi, Gopinatha Shriye Stunaha, Taptakanchana Gaurange, Radhe Vrindavanishwari, Vishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Garim, Tat Kripa Tamahambande, Shigarundina Tarane. Can finish up on that. The Lord also delivered the tiny ascetic sages named Valikilas when they fell in the water of a cow's hoof print, and Indra was laughing at them. The Lord then saved Indra when Indra was covered by darkness due to the sinful reactions of killing Vritrasura. When the wives of the demons were trapped at the place of the demons without any, when the wives of the demigods were trapped at the place of the demons without shelter, the Lord saved them. In his incarnation as Narsinga, he killed Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, to free the saintly devotees from fear. The Supreme Lord regularly takes advantage of the wars between the demons and the demigods to kill the leaders of the demons. The Lord thus encourages the demigods by protecting the universe through his various incarnations during the reigns of each Manu. The Lord also appeared as Vamana and took the earth away from Bali Maharaj and the plea of begging 3 steps of land. The Lord then returned the entire world to the sons of Aditi. Lord Parashuram appeared in the family of Bhrigu as a fire that burned to ashes the dynasty of Haihaya. Thus, Lord Parashuram rid the earth of all Kshatriyas 21 times. The same Lord appeared as Ramchandra, the husband of Sita Devi, and he killed the 10-headed Ravana along with all the soldiers of Lanka. May that Lord Ram, whose glories destroy the contamination of the world, be always victorious. So that's significant, because today's the Ram Vijay Utsava. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Lord Ramachandra was more or less a contemporary incarnation of the 9 Yogendras. Thus they have offered particular respect to Lord Ramachandra, as indicated by the word Jayati. All right, so that's just a summary of the avatars, the main ones. Krishna comes to annihilate the miscreants and to help the devotees. Ramchandra, everybody knows very well here. You have the expert, Subhavilas. And the victory, of course, Rama, in his Leela, he let it, the battle go on, you know, like for a long time. Like if you see most of the battles with Krishna, he finishes up pretty quick, right? At least in the Bhagavatam. But with Ravana, he let the long, long battle go on. It's described for different reasons. One, I think, what was it, the 5th day or something, Ravana came out and he fought with Ram. And he was just totally smashed. He had never felt arrows that hurt him before, and he just got completely bewildered. His chariot was broken, his helmet was knocked off, and he didn't have a bow. He was finished. And Lord Ram said, it won't be very nice to kill you when you're so tired, so you should go home and rest, and then we can fight again. And that's when he was so bewildered, that's when he called Kumbhakarna. Kumbhakarna told him, I told you, you didn't take our advice. We told you to give Sita back. But he just got mad. I'm the king. I'm the older brother, and you better do what I tell you. So he fought. So that, you know, it's just that the Lord wanted that Leela of that huge battle and glorified the monkeys and Hanuman and then Vibhishan and everybody else. So then Ravana didn't come out again for a long time. He kept sending everybody. He suffered so much. all his sons and his ministers and his biggest generals, everybody's getting killed one after another. But he kept, just like Kamsa, kept sending different demons to kill Krishna. He didn't go himself. Finally, he had to go out himself, and then it's described that Ram let the fight go on for a long time so everyone could see what a great fighter Ravana was. You know, how he... And then he killed him. And then he gave him a royal funeral and everything. So, but today is also the disappearance day of Madhvacharya. We have here famous pose of Madhvacharya. Right? Now, we hear that he's saying the soul and the super soul are different. Because the Maya bodies, they try to say it's, you know, they recognize the qualitative similarity, and then they try to say quantitative similarity. So he smashed that. So it's his disappearance. I have here a prayer he recited just before he disappeared. He recited a prayer based on the invocation to that terse scripture. Om, may my mind and speech always be fixed on the Supreme Being, who is the greatest of all. May that being reveal himself to me now and forevermore. May my mind and speech help me to understand the Vedic truths, and may that truth always be present within me. Do not be idle day and night. He's speaking to his followers. Do not be idle day and night. Do not be idle, period. Day and night remain dedicated to this endeavor. Always think this truth and speak it to those who will listen. Lord Vishnu will protect those who do this and bring wisdom and peace to the world. It is said that he gave this final call to his followers to go forth and preach. Heavenly beings blanketed him with a shower of flowers under which he disappeared from the world and took residence in the transcendental realm of sage Vyasadeva high in the Himalaya. The place of his disappearance is honored as a holy spot to this day. By a simpler account, after passing on his various responsibilities to his disciples, he set out alone for a third journey to Badri, never to be seen again. The day of his departure is celebrated as Madhva Navani. So, I was reading, and some of the scholars say, well, they don't know much about his life except from these hagiographies. You know what that is? You know, where you're just trying to glorify a person. Like the Prabhupada movie that's being shown now in America. Some of the envious reviewers say it's just a hagiography, you know. It's not. But that's not what it is. It was not what it was meant to be. But it's when you show the activities of such great personalities that people can't believe it, so they just think it made up stories, you know. Just trying to promote somebody to be the next, you know, president or the next acharya or something. So he, in order to establish this difference, he gave example that there's many differences. There's differences between material things, right? That tripod is different than this one. And, you know, the chairs are different than the walls. There's differences, so many differences. And variety is the mother of enjoyment and spice of life. So, you know, that's why it's getting harder and harder to do anything because Maya has come up with so many varieties of the same thing. Right? Isn't it? So many varieties of chips in all the stores. The new one every day comes out, a new flavor, a new something, and drinks, and bottled drinks. In Japan, it's like mind-boggling, huh? They're just mixing up so many things. It's all the same old thing, you know, the same song, the same everything, but there's so much variety. There's variety between material things and the soul. That should be obvious. There's between material thing and God, there's a variety. Between different souls, there's variety. You're all different individuals. Of course, they'll say the souls are all the same, the bodies are different. But why are the bodies acting in different ways? And if the souls are all the same, right? Like if you had 1,000 robots and you were controlling all of them, they'd all do the same thing, right? But so, and then there's a difference between the spirit, the living entity, the jiva, and the paramatma, the atma and the paramatma. That's just, he just did to make a point. So he especially was annihilating Mayavadi philosophy. He followed up on Ramanuja, who's got it started. And then he was born about 100 years after the departure of Ramanuja. And he picked up on the same battle against the Buddhist philosophy and the Shankar. Things were pretty bad in India, especially Ramanuja's time. The Shaivites had taken the Vishnu deities out of the temples and they were worshipping Shiva. The devotees were going to the temple anyway and trying to, think of Vishnu. So they prayed for someone to come, and Ramanuja came, and then later Madhvacharya came. And his birth is... I tell when householders ask me that, we're trying, but we're not having any children. And I tell him about this one. You know the story? His mother and father were very simple brahmanas. In the village, they wanted to worship the deity in the main temple, so they traveled to the city. And they just did deity worship. And very austere, some pujaris do. They don't eat until the deities take rest and just take milk or something. And just totally absorbed all day in deity worship for 12 years. Then they did the samskara and prayed to have a great child. So they got Madhvacharya. It was pretty good. He was predicted also. And he's known to be the incarnation of Vayu. The demigods were saying, we got to send somebody to earth because things are so bad. We got to have a really powerful preacher. So Madhvacharya and his writings, which were very massive, he mentioned sometimes he was Hanuman, he was Bhima, and now he's Madhvacharya. Radhanath Swami told one time that Madhvacharya took his followers to Kurukshetra, and they dug up and they found a big club. They found Bhima's club, put it back, and nobody ever found it again. So he wrote a very interesting book called Tattva Muktavali, The Pearl Necklace of Truths, or 100 Refutations of the Mayavad Fallacy. So I looked up a few. There's 100 of them, so I picked out a few random ones. So Prabhupada definitely followed. Lord Chaitanya chose to be in the Madhva Sampradaya, in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya. And so we're still in that. And Lord Chaitanya, or Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya also, but Prabhupada definitely followed in the mood of defeating Mayavad. He didn't have to debate such sophisticated Mayavadis like Madhvad had to debate, that know thousands of scriptural references and Vedas, and they just misinterpret all of them. So he could straighten them all out. He defeated some of the biggest Mayavadi scholars, and then they became his disciples. They became his main disciples and be big preachers. Nowadays, if we defeat someone, they usually just kind of go away and back to their people, and they won't admit that they were defeated. So Prabhupada, when he first came, he had one pranam, Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prastaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamani. So after a while, the devotees, you know, started to learn more. They asked him if they could have another one that's more personal. That one is like a general. So he, off the wall, or spontaneously made up the Namaste, Gauravani. And then he, Nirvisesha Shunyavadi, Paschachade Satarni. You know, Namaste, Gauravani, Pracharni. You know, he's a servant of Bhaktisiddhanta, and he's preaching Lord Chaitanya's mission to defeat the Mayavadi. He didn't say Mayavadi, he said the Nirvisesha and the Shunyavadis. That's the two different schools of Mayavadi. In India, with the Vedic, so-called Vedic, we have the Nirvisesha. There's no variety. Everything's the same, right? It's all one. And then the Buddhist is a Shunyavadi. It's all nothing. But if you were to study, I don't recommend it, but many of you may have studied anyway before you met the Buddhist. What they say about the oneness and what the Shunyavadis say about the nothingness is the same. It's unlimited word jugglery. But so people get really confused. And so that verse is what gives me hope whenever I analyze the results in Japan, that the Shunyavadis, you know, they want to be nothing. The Buddhists, some of them, they're not really Buddhist anymore, but they got, you know, they're frustrated. So they just don't want to exist. That's the idea. Although Buddha's original teachings weren't like that, somehow it morphed into that. So Prabhupada, I just looked up, he mentioned the word Mayavadi, we find in the Vedabase 237 times. Mayavada, when he refers to the philosophy, 999 times. So definitely he was busy. We read like when he was first preaching in New York and there was a few devotees, he was always talking of Mayavadis are wrong, Mayavadi. Nobody knew what a Mayavadi was. They thought it must be some group in India that Prabhupada has some quarrel with, you know. Some other, you know. But then they realized it was them. Prabhupada didn't have his Bhagavad Gita, and he had a, I didn't know this. Who was it? That used to be the prime minister or something. So he had that commentary, and he would read the slokas. Prabhupada said that anyone can translate it, but the purports, the misinterpretation is the problem. So he was reading that sloka where Krishna says, give everything to me, one of those slokas. And then he mentioned how the Mayavadi says that Krishna doesn't mean to give it to him. He means to give it to the unknown, unmanifested something. Somewhere. And one devotee said, well, what's wrong with that? Because they'd all, you know, they've been spiritual seekers and the only thing available was Buddhist and Mayavadi things. So Prabhupada, he said he slammed his fist on the table, like almost broke the table. He turned red in the face, actually. Umapati said, Prabhupada turned red and he just screamed, you know. He was so angry at this Mayavadi idea. One time in Japan, in Kyoto, Kobe, where all the Indians live, he was invited to a program. Devotees were like maybe only two or three devotees in Japan at the time. Now we have a few more. So anyway, there was not exclusive program for Prabhupada. So I don't know if Prabhupada spoke or not, but he was sitting with the devotees and there was a Mayavadi speaking. And Prabhupada was listening, and then all of a sudden Prabhupada just said, start kirtan. And the devotees, of course, started kirtan, made a big noise, and left. Prabhupada. So, and the, of course, the Hindu community was really, well, why did he do that? You know. But Prabhupada, he said, he was speaking okay for a while, then he started saying, we're all God and everyone is Radha or something. And he said, I could not tolerate that. So he started kirtan. So he definitely was in the following in the footsteps of Madhvacharya to defeat the Mayavadis. So his book, the first verse says, glories to Lord Krishna, who is simultaneously the protector of the faithful devotees and the devastating eternal time factor destroying the cruel demon kings. Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, is as splendid as a young tamal tree. He is the source of limitless Brahman effulgence. He is the master of all potencies. He is decorated with Vaijayanti flower garland, and his forehead is splendidly decorated with tilak. Now, we know that Lord Chaitanya, he studied all the sampradayas, and he took two prominent things from each one. So what did he take from Madhvacharya? Huh? Who knows? Huh? No. He took two, you know, philosophical points. One was defeating Mayavadi. And the other is that the deity of Krishna is eternal. Madhvacharya established, you know, fantastic deity worship in Udupi. The deity came to him quite interestingly. He was meditating by the sea, which he did quite often. And a ship, it was like a storm, and big waves, and one ship was in big trouble. And he, you know, and everything calmed down. So the captain of the ship saw him and thought, he saved us, the owner. So he got on, he came and said, you know, I just came from Dwarka and I have a lot of valuable things. You can have whatever you want. He said, well, I don't need anything, but you have three big chunks of tilak clay and that's in the front. They just put in there to for weight, to balance the ship, because we load the goods. So he said, I just want that. And the captain was amazed that he, not captain, the owner, that he knew about it. So they brought it off, and I heard different things, that they dropped it on the, went in the water, and there were three different murtis. I remember one. The one was Balaram, a pretty big one. They said 3 feet tall. And that went somewhere and was installed in some temple. There was another murti, and then the Udupi Krishna, very small, like 20 inches. So he took that one. They said no one could lift it. You know, the workers couldn't lift that tilak with that deity. And so it fell down. And then he took that deity and installed it in Udupi at the temple. And he taught, we've all heard about the standard of puja at Madhvacharya's temples, right? All day long they're doing something, and everything is with mantras. Whatever they do, there's mantras. And it's very, very elaborate. And it said he learned that from Vyasadev. When he was with Vyasadev, he learned this deity worship. So he put aside the standard ways and introduced that. He was a great organizer. That's just another way that Prabhupada was similar. He established the mutts, he established a whole system of who's in charge and rotation and sannyasis and so many things. And he left so much literature. And he dictated his literature also. He didn't have a dictaphone, but he had some secretary, you know, and he'd dictate and they would write. And later I'll read a list of what he wrote. So another one of his refutations is, everywhere in the Vedic scriptures, pairs of opposites are described. Spiritual enlightened and spiritual darkness. Religion and irreligion, knowledge and ignorance are all different. The Vedic scriptures describe the Supreme Brahman and the individual soul is different. O saintly audience, how can anyone with an honest heart claim that the individual soul and the Supreme Brahman are identical in every way? Very simple. But so he's in all these hundreds, like he's annihilating their arguments. He knows all their arguments. He has to defeat them. O individual soul, your intelligence has been stolen by the darkness of Mayavad theory. And for this reason, you continually mutter, Brahmaham Asmi, I am the Supreme Brahman, as if you become mad. I say to you, if you were the Supreme Brahman, where is your unparalleled audience? Where is your supreme dominion over all? If you are the Supreme Brahman, where is your all-pervasive and all-knowledge? Your equality with the Supreme Brahman is like the equality of a mustard seed with Mount Meru. I just read a few days ago, I don't have it, Prabhupada was saying how these Mayavadi, in America he had to defeat the, you know, these unsophisticated Mayavadi hippies. But I guess it comes from the, you know, so if you ask them these questions, you know, why are you suffering? Why are you in a body? Why are you bewildered? They say, that's my lila. I just wanted to see what it's like to suffer. The Prabhupada really was angry at that one. But, you know, So taken literally, the Vedic statements do not support the theory that the individual soul as spirit is the same as the Supreme Brahman. For this reason, the Mayavadis have rejected the eternal meaning of the text, the literal meaning of the text, and concocted a figurative interpretation based on accepting obscure definitions of words and rejecting the commonly used meanings of words. How do the Mayavadis expect to understand the truth about Brahman if they adopt this devious policy? That's what Shankaracharya did. He just gave the Vedanta Sutra, but then he twisted everything around very brilliantly. So it's still going on. The Mayavadis are everywhere. And we're in this Kali Yuga mostly influenced by Mayavadi. Lord Krishna wanted Mayavadi to help the Kali Yuga happen. Because when you take away the personality and the rasas and all the pleasures of spiritual life, then people will take more shelter of sense gratification. And Kali Yuga can produce. But then Lord Chaitanya comes and tries to wake everybody up. This one is a very interesting analogy. By continually worshipping intellectuals with great devotion, a person born with only small intelligence does not become an intellectual, although the same ways he may adopt the habits of an intellectual. In the same way, by meditating on the Supreme, no one becomes a Supreme who will accept the foolish statements of the Mayavadis. That they're saying, like, if you just meditate on the Supreme Lord, then you become the Supreme Lord. It's very simple arguments, but people get so bewildered. They want, you know, I am God, you are God, you know. This is how the Mayavadis in modern times. You are all God, but you don't know it, but worship me and then I'll wake you up. So people like that. To be God. They don't know what it means, but it sounds good, you know. But to serve God, to serve anybody, not so much inclined in Kali Yuga. When water and milk are mixed together, an ordinary person cannot distinguish where is the milk and where is the water, although a swan can easily separate them in a moment. In the same way, when the individual souls enter the body of Lord Mahavishnu, the cosmic devastation, the Maya bodies cannot distinguish where the individual spirit souls and where there's the Lord, although the devotees who understand everything through the instructions of the bona fide guru can distinguish them immediately. So philosophy is there. His lila is also very phenomenal, Madhvacharya. He was born, he was very beautiful, of course, very physically powerful. And he was always hungry, like Bhima. And he was always demanding the mother's milk. So one time the mother left, he had to go somewhere, and she left him with his elder sister. And he just cried and cried and cried for food, and she just couldn't figure out what to do. Finally, they said she opened up a big bag of some kind of grain that is usually for feeding horses. And he was very happy, just ate and ate and ate. And the mother got home and thought he's going to be really sick, but no problem. At 3 years old, one time he disappeared, and when everybody was worried, he came home hours later. He said, "Well, I went to the temple to have darshan. The deity called me." 5 years old, they went to some fair in the city. Again, he disappeared, and he went to a discourse on the Mahabharata, a very famous speaker. And he stood up and said, "This is wrong. You got it all wrong. You're interpreting. This is not according to Vyasadeva." So the guy said, "Who are you to say anything? Let's hear what you can explain it." And he explained it very brilliantly, and everyone was very much impressed. So like that, physically he was so powerful. He had eating power. There's different stories. One time his father was in debt, and the banker came demanding payment. There was no money. He went in the back and he got tamarind seeds, came with them in a bag, and the man thought, "Well, this is a very cute young boy, but where's the money?" Then he looked in the bag and it was gold, much more than the debt, but they let him take all of it. He did things like that. Throughout his life, besides, you know, successfully defeating anybody, even his own guru later became his disciple, that's why he wasn't satisfied with any guru he could find anywhere. That's why he went to meet Vyasadeva. And it said he fasted for 48 days before they went to Badrinath, which is now Badrinath, which you can go to, you know, small one month of the year or something. Some of the devotees go there. One of his disciples tried to follow him, but he just went like Hanuman and disappeared to where Vyasadeva actually is, which is much higher up. And inaccessible to anybody. So he's gone a long time. He presented his Bhagavad Gita to Vyasadeva. He studied under Vyasadeva, came back with his Bhagavad Gita that he learned from Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva, he wanted to stay, but Vyasadeva ordered him to go back and preach. So he went back, you know, really armed. So we look at our disciple succession. We have, you know, Brahma, Narada, Vyas, and then it's many thousands of years until Madhva. There must have been others, but things got lost. But Madhva was very significant. One time some big wrestlers came, I don't know what age he was at that time. They were challenging everybody, and he said, "I don't think you're strong enough to wrestle with me." So they started showing off. They were throwing big stones and lifting really heavy things. And he said, "All right, if you can choke me to stop my japa, then I'll wrestle with you. So they tried. The one tried. He just kept chanting. The other one tried. He kept chanting. They both tried to choke him. He couldn't stop him from chanting. Another time he just challenged the wrestler to pick up his toe. He put his toe on the ground and couldn't pick it up. It was like Bhima, you know, or Hanuman, he's the same. So we're very fortunate to be in line with such a personality. And they have Prabhupada giving us, you know, the essence of all the arguments to defeat the Mayavadis. The Mayavadis, they're Mayavadi. They think it's all one. They didn't believe anything. They don't believe God is a person, you know. But they're not so sophisticated. But also they're not so easily accept defeat. So Prabhupada expertly gave, you know, Krishna and Krishna's leelas and the Mahamantra and Kirtan, all these ecstatic things, blissful things, which make one, you know, forget the Mayavadi, which is so dry it may be interested. You may sound like, you know, very eloquent speaker, the Mayavadis, because they just confuse everybody. One of the big Mayavadis, I think he's still alive, he said, "I make a feast that no one can digest." In other words, you know, he speaks and no one can understand it, so they think it must be really great because no one can understand it. And the reason you can't understand it is because there's nothing to it. There's no conclusion anywhere. It's just, you know, like some jugglers can juggle many, you know, chainsaws. And in America, they juggle, they have to be different. And they get three or four chainsaws and they're running and they're throwing them around. You know, or some many, many balls. And it's bewildering. You don't know where it's coming, where it's starting, where how many are there. You can't tell. So that's how they do with words. And they just confuse everybody. So Prabhupada was able to defeat their words and straighten them out, but also, you know, give something alternative, not just defeat them. Another one. There's some scholars who, although very carefully follow the wrong path, are actually drowning in a great ocean of faulty logic, are nevertheless very expert at flowery speeches and debate. These persons are filled with hundreds of faulty theories, and they expound their ideas in many words, exclaiming, "I am the Supreme Brahman, and everything visible is nothing but the moving and non-moving Supreme." In this way, they have cheated and misled the entire world. In this way, they have openly exposed the view, the very sinful desire that pollutes their heart. Now, what time is it? Huh? I have to hurry then? Okay, I went over, because this is a very big topic. So it describes it just... His greatest genius was that he recorded his philosophy and system of religion eloquently and completely, just like Prabhupada did. He organized ISKCON. He gave us so many guidelines. He made the GBC. He gave us the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita with purports. He gave everything we need to keep it going. So Madhvacharya's thing is still going. The different mats and the different sannyasis and how they trade off, and it's a highly, highly organized thing, but it includes many, many, many thousands of devotees. So he, not by writing but by dictation, 39 original Sanskrit works, 4 works on Brahma Sutra, commentaries on the 10 major Upanishads, and on the Rig Veda Samhita, 40 hymns. 40 hymns of the Rig Veda he commentated on. Commentaries on the Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Purana. two commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. The one he got from Vyas directly. Five hymns in praise of the divine and five manuals on sectarian practices. This literary legacy, along with the scriptures it comments on, forms the canon of his sampradaya, which is today one of the strictest, well-organized, and tightly administered spiritual bodies in India. So we're in that line. Lord Chaitanya chose to be in that line. The Gaudiya is in that line, although some of them think that the Gaudiya is deviated in some ways. And they're not sometimes so favorable. But still, it's the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Because he really broke everything open to smash the Mayavadis and establish the deity worship as the deity is eternal. Because the Mayavadis, and which is almost every Hindu, I went to an exhibit that was touring the world once in New York. Huge, huge exhibit in the whole basement of the New York Museum of Art or something, called Introduction to Hindu something. So they had a movie showing of different Indian rich man, doctor, professor, explaining deity worship. And every one of them said, the deity is not the God. They started that, and when they tried to please the British, and you know, the Christians are saying you're worshiping idols, so they're saying it's not God. It's just like a connection to the internet or something, you know, that the deity just connects you to the whatever it is that we don't know what it is that we're praying to behind. And when you close the curtain, it's not there anymore. Only when you're worshiping it. So that's what the Vaishnavas do not agree with, that the deity is always Krishna. So we're worshiping and we're feeding and dressing and bathing and, you know, constantly, 24 hours. All right, I don't know if we're allowed to go over time. Any comments or questions? Everybody's got some place to run off to. Huh? Anybody? All right. So we can pray to Madhvacharya on these days. We also meditate on the Ramayana and Ramachandra's victory and how Bibhishan helped him to kill Ravana, you know, supposedly. Of course, he could have done it all very easily himself, but the Ramayana is very, very important, and we have Subal Vilas Prabhu preaching it properly around the world, because many reciters use Ramayana and present all kinds of nonsense, right? So we're presenting all the Bhagavad Gita, everything properly. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Vacharya ki jai. Shri Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.